Gabriella
has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We will begin with a L'shem Yehud. You'll find the handout on the Unique Astrological Times link. You can find that underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage, or if it's a mobile device you're using, it's usually at the bottom of the page. When the Unique Astrological Times link is opened up, scroll down to the section Ta'anit Dibur, Fast of Words.
Has joined.
And you'll find the handout for today is for Tehillim 88, Psalm 88. We have done this psalm before a couple of weeks ago, but it was during the period where we were having problems with getting online and getting the recordings. And so I decided to redo it so that we will have a recording for it. And we'll keep the continuity of our recordings going. When your Psalms landing page opens up, it's at the bottom of the link, at the bottom of the page, is Tehillim 88. And just above that, there are two links, one for the Rabbi Sutton's translation. And you should know that there is not yet a translation by Rabbi Sutton for Psalm 88. And also for the Makom Mamre link, which is the one we'll be using today. And when that opens up, please scroll down to Psalm 88. We are ready to begin. L'shem Yehud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Uchilu Uchilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bavate V'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'sok Torah Mitzvah V'yehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Alein Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kananei Alein Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kananei. I'm going to ask you all to mute your phones by pressing star 6, as I'm getting some feedback, and hopefully that will clear it up. Thank you. Tehillim 88. The psalmist weeps and laments bitterly over the maladies and the suffering that Israel endures in exile, which he describes in detail. And this is appropriate for this 9-day period leading up to Tisha B'Av. The first word is Mizmor Korah. Actually, the first words are Shir Mizmor Korah. It's relating to the sons of Korah and to the word Shir, which is a type of psalm, a type of song, because the word Shir means a male song. And when I say male song, it doesn't mean that it's in sung in the baritone or the bass. It means that it's a sharing consciousness as opposed to a receiving consciousness. The sons of Korach went down to Gehinnom with their father, and after the first earthquake, the way it described in the Torah. Moses told the people to separate from Korah and the people who followed him. And then there was a chasm opened up in the earth. And every one of those people that were involved with the Korah rebellion fell into the earth going down to Gehinnom. This is the first recorded earthquake. And the Kabbalah teaches this was the first earthquake, that it was a new thing. And when they fell down, the sons of Korah, who had followed their father, but may not have been really connected to following their father, but were doing so out of the concept of honoring their father. And so they had thoughts of doing teshuvah, but they never had the opportunity to actually do this teshuvah. And Hashem, in his mercy, counted their thoughts as the action. Now, normally in our world, in our physical world, and in our generation, we have the time to do the actions of teshuvah. And we have recorded time and time again people who in their last breath are saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But if they don't have time to say it, but the thought occurs to them, Hashem in his mercy follows through, providing they truly would have done the teshuvah. The sons of Korah were brought back. They fell into the earth. They went down to Gehinnom, and then they were lifted up through Hashem's mercy. And they wrote these psalms that we've been reading. There are 19 verses in Psalm 88. The number 19 relates to the number of years in the Hebrew calendar cycle. 19 is also the gematria of Chava. The mother of life is the typical English translation. Since Eve, Chava, was the mother of Cain and Abel, and their twin sisters, and all other human life came from that. Also, the number of 19 is the number of Sephirot in a soul, because a soul is male and female together. The female has 10 Sephirot. The male only has 9. That's because the female is his 10th. But the female was removed from the within the consciousness of Adam. And that's why we say that the female is his 10th, is Malchut, because he had 10. But then Hashem removed her and brought them side to side instead of back to back. We will read the commentary at the end of the class after we read the Psalms. So please take a look, transfer to the B'chon Mamre website, as we begin to study the Psalm of 19 verses. If you have questions during this reading or the studying we're going through on the Psalm, please, it's okay to unmute your phone and ask your question. Please do so. Verse 1. Shemi Yizmor Livnei Korah Lam Natfea Tal Mahalat La'anot Maskil Lecheman Ezrahi. A psalm of the sons of Korah, where the leader upon Mahalat Leanot, Maskil of Heman, the Ezrahite. You have three words in this verse that are three types of psalms. There are three types of the 10 types of song are mentioned in this. One of the interpretations of that, why are the three mentioned? Why is it necessary for the three? Because the different words for the different songs is dealing with the Sephirot. And having three types of song is an indication that all three columns are represented within the psalm. The second verse. Hashem Elohe Yeshuati Yom Ta'ati Valayla Negdecha. Hashem, the God of my salvation, what time I cry in the night before thee. This translation is not accurate. Why do I say that? Because the word what in Hebrew is ma, mem he. And you don't see the word ma in this verse. Balayla is in the night. So we have no problem with that aspect. Yom is a day. So it should be translated as the day I cry in the night before thee. But I don't have the confidence that Sa'akti and Negdecha are being translated properly. Verse 3. Tavo lefanecha tefilati ate ayesnecha lerinati. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear upon my cry. There are six words which indicates that this is a connection to Zeranpin without being unified with Malchut. And that's quite understandable when you're talking about crying. Now, in verse 2, the last word, let me scroll back just to be able to confirm it, that it's exactly the same. You see, the word cry is not using the same word that is used, that's being translated in verse 2 for the word cry. So again, we have some difficulty accepting the translation. But it's also appropriate that when you're crying, you are separating yourself from the unity of Zerahin with Malchut. And when that takes place, there's the flow of Shefa gets blocked. But 26 letters connects us to Hashem through its gematria of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And Hashem is literally the flow of Shefa. So we think we're disconnected because we're crying, but in reality, we're never disconnected. And it's at this moment when we are crying, when we have a broken heart, that Hashem is closest to us. But we're so involved with our selfish consciousness, we're unable to feel the closeness. The fourth verse. Ki sava v'ra'ot nafshi v'chaye li'shol hagiyu. For my soul is sated with troubles, and my life draws nigh unto the grave. When I cannot feel Hashem, when I feel distant from Hashem, it's as if I am dying. Verse 5. Nechshavti im yordei bo, hayiti keneged kegever ein ayal. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am become as a man that has no help. Remember, this is being written and sung by the sons of Korah who've been in the pit. This description is accurate. In the pit, in Gehinnom, you have no help. There's no way to change the decree of that court, that final court. Now, we are taught that when you say Kaddish for a parent or for a child, you are assisting them in elevating within the decree. But it's like a sentence. If a person is sentenced to prison without the hope of parole, that's what they feel. They have no help. when a child is saying the Kaddish for the parent or for their own child, God forbid, that's a sentence that says you're going to go to jail, but you have the possibility of parole. And that's the process of the elevation that is done by saying the Kaddish and recognizing the Yortzeit. There used to be times in generations where people would light candles and commemorate the Yortzeit of a grandfather, even though they never met them, of even a great-grandfather, and in a few cases, a great-great-grandfather. We don't have that practice, but it doesn't mean you cannot start it again. Verse 6. Ba'meitim ha'achshi t'imo ha'lalim shok ve'kever asher lo zikartam od. Set apart among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou remembered no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. And I apologize, because I did not read the last three words of this verse, because of I saw the ending semicolon. Wehei ma miyadcha nigzaru. Those are the last three words. There are 13 words in this verse connecting us to the word echad, meaning unity, oneness. Words and 50 letters. 50 gates of Bina. The 50 years of the Jubilee. This is a unification on many levels. Verse 7. Shatani vor tahtiyot b'machashakim b'msolot. Thou hast laid me on the nethermost pit, in the dark places, in the deeps. These five words connect to the concept of the limited Sefirot. God forbid that they're limited. The limited Sefirot is Keter, Chokhmah, Bina, Erpin, and Malchut. They are complete. All 10 are listed, but 6 are concealed into a unification of 1. It's Erpin. But it's not the same as 13. Not the same as Echad. There are 36 letters, which connects to the 36 tzaddikim. first ten. Eini deava mini oni paratiha Hashem bekoyom shitachti elecha kapai. Mine eyes languishes by reason of affliction. I have called upon thee, Hashem, every day. I have spread forth my hands unto thee. There are 11 words. We know the number 11 is the connection to the Ketoret, which brings us closer to Hashem. Two letters connecting to the Anapakoach and creation, the creative process. The number 11 is the Ketoret, but it's also the 10 Sefirot, including the 11th, which is the negative system. Verse 12. I supar bekever hazdecha emunacha be'avadon. Shall thy mercy be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? The second word in this verse is the grave, kever. The kever is in, a kever is in the grave. The last word, avadon, in destruction. But avadon is a level of gehinom. And the second to the last word, emunatcha, is amen, is the shoresh, which is faith. Your faithfulness. The prophet, the end of the word is your. So the translation is accurate, but it's missing the mark. That's why Rabbi Sutton has such difficulty. How does one translate all of these words that I'm saying into the meaning that one is able to discern from the verse? Verse 13. Ayiwada bachoshe. Ilecha b'tzitzitatcha b'eretz neschia. Shall thy wonders be known in the earth, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? Six words, Zeran Pin, without its connection to Malchut. Letters of the alphabet, but there are letters that are missing. I would have to take the time to evaluate it, but you do not have all the letters, all 27 letters. How do I know that? Because I see that there are two kaf sofits, which means at least one of the sofit letters is missing. Actually, there are three kaf sofits, so two of the letters are missing. The only one that's there is the tzadi. Verse 14. Hua ani Shem Shivati Uva Boker Tefilati Tekadecha. But as for me, unto thee, Hashem, do I cry, and in the morning does my prayer come to meet thee. Seven words which connects to the unity of Zerandin with Malchut. Twenty-eight letters is connection to the word Koach, which means power or strength. And this is a verse that is adding power, that needs the power to rise to meet Hashem. Verse 15. Lama Hashem tisnach nafshi tastir panecha mimeni. Hashem, why cast thou off my soul? Why hidest thou face from me? We all ask this question. And this is a very important spiritual test. Hashem is hiding his face from me. Am I asking the question, what did I do that caused Hashem to hide his face from me? This verse doesn't ask that. It says, why are you doing this action, Hashem? What you're really saying, and we all do it, what we're really saying is I can run this world better than Hashem. Chas v'shalom. Of course, we all know that's not true. Of course, we would think, oh, that's not what I'm saying. But it is what you're saying. Because Hashem is hiding his face from you. You're making the statement, you realize it, but you don't accept it as coming from your actions. Verse 16. Ani, we go. Weya minoar dasati emecha afuna. I am afflicted and at the point of death from my youth up. I have borne thy terrors. I am distracted. This is a verse that's accepting my mistakes. I've allowed myself to become distracted. What am I supposed to do in this world? I'm supposed to reveal the light of the Torah. I'm supposed to reveal the light of Hashem. I'm supposed to cleanse the physicality so that Hashem can rest on the physicality or within the physicality. But if I'm distracted by the physical pleasures, if I'm distracted by Satan, I'm not doing my job. Look at the first two words. They sound alike, ani, ani, but they're different. Ani with an aleph is an I, the word of ego. The ani with the ayin is a poor person. Here it's being translated as afflicted. But But again, the translation is a little bit corrupted. I am afflicted, meaning I have lack. But you don't see the word met in this verse. Met is death. So why are they saying at the point of death? The fourth word, menoar, with different vowels would be menaar. And naar is a river. The mem at the beginning of the word means from. So I have lack, and I'm looking for the river. I don't know what the translation of goeah is. So I've said it's looking for the river. But the river is water, and the water is always Torah. I have lack, and I'm looking for the Torah. This is where we get distracted. Verse 17. Alai avru aronecha beutecha tzimtutu oni. Thy fierce wrath is gone over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. Thy fierce wrath has gone over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. Five words connecting to the Geter Hachman Bina Zerantin and Malchut. Connecting to the limitation. Twenty-six letters indicating that Hashem is always with us. We just have to remember it. Verse 18. Kabuni kamayim kol hayom nikipu alai yachad. They came round about me like water all the day. They compassed me about together. Seven words connecting to the unity of Zerantin and Malchut. Twenty-six letters connecting to Hashem and his water, his Torah. Verse 19. Ir hakta mimeni ohev varea miudai maksha. Friend and companion has thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. It ends with a verse that only has a separation between Malchut and Zerantin, as it has six words. But the 24 letters brings us to the unity of day and night, 12 hours of each. as much as we're ending in a negative verse, we're connecting to the unity of male and female, which is what day and night represent. Let us return to the Psalms landing page and read the commentary. This may sound familiar because we've read it, but I lost the recording, so I appreciate your time in letting me redo this. But I think you will find it well worth hearing again. I find the English language fascinating. It is alive and keeps coming up with new expressions. Recently, I heard a phrase that I found especially distinctive. Sir, you have lost the plot. Now, here's a real beauty. Like so many quips, it says a lot in a few words. A plot is an idea, a plan, something that one focuses upon. To lose it is to become unmindful of what you should be doing. You lose the plot when you forget why you went to the grocery or where you are supposed to meet your next appointment. Not that this has ever happened to me. Every creation on this earth has a plot, a reason to be where it is. If you forget what that purpose is, well, then you've lost the plot. Old man, you just ain't doing what you are meant to do. And this is true for individuals, but it is also true for communities, and even nations as well. One great example can be taken by our own historical experience. We were given a place to live, one specifically created as the fountainhead of holiness. Eden were meant to live in Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha and spiritual awareness. However, our nation lost the plot and became infatuated with the materialism of the land. We became enamored with the idea of gaining wealth and honor, forgetting why Hashem chose us to live in that special place. For this reason, we were sent into exile so as to reawaken our hearts. Yes. Galut was meant to wake us up to our true needs. However, we lost the plot yet again and allowed this situation to become the norm. We allowed ourselves to become visitors of others' places, visitors that crave the wealth and perceived greatness that the others have. It's as if we live our life, whole life, without really acknowledging the role we are meant to play. A light unto the nations. Certainly, that doesn't mean feeling that the nations are what we aspire to become. The distinguished Rav remarked recently that all too often he senses that Torah Jews are trying to find the joys of materialistic life despite their Torah lifestyle. It's as if they think that real pleasure is found in the secular world, and if they can somehow finesse the fact that they have to do mitzvot, they will have a great old time of it. We see ads that tell us of once-in-a-lifetime opportunities to enjoy a Yom Tov in the most beautiful spot in the world. We read a bit further and discover that this spot is somewhere in the exotic tropics, not the hills overlooking Jerusalem. Sure, it will be glatt kosher, with a shiur laid on by a worthy rabbanim, but it also speaks of horseback riding and campfires under the stars. The plot is well and truly lost. Such activity is mentioned as a life-embracing one-time opportunity. There is a fine line between recharging one's batteries with a rest in a picturesque setting and seeking a lifestyle that bespeaks a secular mindset with kosher provisions. This tendency is nothing new. In every generation, Jews have been torn by this dilemma. They have sought to do mitzvot, but sometimes tried to find life's joys through superficial means. Simchat HaMitzvah, the joy of the mitzvah, is a plot that is unique to the Jewish soul. Everything else exists through the prism of this truth. Our souls can find joy only through being connected entirely to our Torah. Everything else is galut, exile. However, all too often we forget. We trudge along, allowing ourselves to fall further in the pit of despair, while hoping that the next material gimmick will bring fulfillment. But of course it can't. It doesn't relate to our inner soul. It's not part of the plan. It's just an illusion. Today we are witness to so much plenty. Yidden have never had so much material wealth. Yet we see more and more heartache and pain. Things never thought of before, such as divorce. Children drifting away. Financial ruin have all become part and parcel of our generation's roll call of misery. Why? Perhaps it is because we have lost the plot. Tehillim speaks of this tragic situation. These words from way back ring true, even today, because we have yet to realize which plot we should be living. Hashem Elokai Yeshuasi. Hashem, the God of my deliverance, by day I cried before you, at night I stood before you in prayer. The supplicant is crying. He feels distraught. For him there is neither day nor night. Life that is aimless is blurred in a maze of nothingness. Avo lifanecha tefilati, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my song. For my soul is satiated with troubles, and my life approaches the grave. There are times when this galut, this exile, is so deep that we can no longer raise our voice. It's like a weight lying on our heart. Our travails came about because we forgot why we are the nation of Hashem. Now, as we sit in the darkness of galut, of exile, we realize exactly what sort of satiation we have attained. We haven't grown fat with the tight joys of the material life. Instead, we have become dumbfounded by its emptiness. Nechshavti, im yordei bor, I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I have become like a man without strength. Losing the focus of my life, I am falling into the abyss of the pit. These words are full of despair, yet they must be at some point. If we don't wake up, if we just continue our jumbled existence, then they will be the words of our own disaster. The plot, dearest Yid, the plot is for us to be shaken awake to our true abilities. Spiral of despair goes further. Irkachta meyudai imimeni. You have estranged my friends from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am imprisoned and cannot get out. I thought that by living in the real world, the others would like me. What folly! They despise me. They hate me for what I should be and for what I'm not. I live in a prison of my own making, locked in my self-delusion of my misplaced will. Oni, ani, vigro vaya, me noar. I am afflicted and at the point of sudden death. I have borne your sudden terrors, which have become part of me. In the darkness of our galuts, our exile, it sometimes seems that nothing can stop our fall. Hashem's wake-up calls seem to go unanswered. Yes, we cry out for a moment. We say we want to return, and then we get back on the road to nowhere. It's as if we wear the cloak of our superficiality with welcome aplomb. Unfortunately, there are no quick fixes for our pain. Each of us must come to our own understanding of what we strive for. Our mitzvot must be wholesome, free of self-serving posing. We must each find the plot once more. Before we reach that final plot, the one reserved in the earth where all mortal remains. Notice that this capital was written by the sons of Korah, people who knew a thing or two about the emptiness of a misplaced life. They designate it as a song, which may seem strange. Perhaps a dirge would have been a better expression for what they said. But no, song it is. Why? Why is it a shir, a song? Because they knew we would one day wake up and return to our rightful role, and then all the despair would dissipate. The very pain we live through today will be the stepping stone of our future redemption. This is an unwritten commentary. If you follow the news from the land of Israel, there are protests against this new government that's less than a couple of months old. This new government that has announced things, look to the United States government for acceptance of what they want to do. And when they don't get it, they back away from it. They don't look to Hashem. In 1948, actually starting in the early 1900s, there was an influx of secular Jewish people who came into the land, and they worked on the kibbutzim, and they drained the swamp. Literally drained the swamp and planted the trees and planted the crops. And they worked very hard. And in 1948, the land of Israel, the modern state of Israel, was announced. But it is announced with two goals, and the goals are in conflict. They can be reconciled, but we're not reconciling them. The two goals are to have a Torah state, a government of Torah, and to have a secular state, just like all of the other states. You can see the conflict, because a Torah state is not like all the other states. It is more ethical. It is more connected to Hashem. It is on a higher level of spirituality than a secular state like all the other states. And we've gone through wars, 67, reuniting Jerusalem, 73, the Yom Kippur War, where we gained additional land and then gave it back in exchange for peace. Maybe that was well worth it. But then we've learned by giving the land the way that belongs to us, according to the Torah, we're going to find an increase in anti-Semitism. We're going to find an increase in terrorism. We're going to find some horrible events. It brings us up to this year of 2020, 5780, a year where we have the land, we have a homeland, but we've lost our spiritual path. And we see the loss of that spiritual path in the fact that we have, even in the land of Israel, you cannot have a group that meets that is a minyan. You cannot pray in a minyan. Well, people are still doing it. People are protesting, some for it, some against it. This lack of unity is the right reason for the rise in anti-Semitism. You have to see the world from the perspective of Hashem, and then you will know the path to follow. As long as you see the world from the perspective of a human being looking for pleasures and self-pleasures, you've lost the plot. We have lost the plot once again. How long will it take us to wake up? There's a very positive year coming. We'll be discussing it in a few weeks. There is a very positive year coming. Will we have learned the lessons? Will we remember the plot? Shabbat Shalom. If there are any questions, please unmute yourself while I mention that at 11 o'clock West Coast time, we will have a class studying the Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, which is a weekly tool to utilize to do Teshuvah, to make your list this Friday afternoon for what your goals are, your spiritual goals are, to do next week. In this next week, we have Tisha B'Av, the holiday. Most people see it as the day of mourning of the temples, but it's not mourning the temples. It's mourning our actions that created the necessity for the loss of the temples. What will your goals be this week? Will you write them down? And will you evaluate them next Friday as to how well you did? And will you evaluate this Friday with the goals you wrote down last Friday? How well did you do them? Will you be honest with yourself? Or will you see yourself from the human being's perspective? I made a mistake. I made 1,000 mistakes. I lost the plot. Will I regain the plot today or next week for this coming Shabbat? Shabbat Devarim, the Shabbat of words, the Shabbat of things. There is your duality. Will you find the plot? Shabbat Shalom. Are there any questions? Yotzi Shabbat is a long, long night learning. We will have our 7 o'clock class for the Zohar class for Vayetchanan. And immediately following that, we will continue to study the words of the Ari. Shabbat Shalom. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
Allowing me to redo this psalm, but I think it was different. I think it was better. But it is not yet better.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.